Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. The title for today's sermon is Doubt Takes a Back Seat. Doubt takes a back seat. Dear Christian friends, we are all thankful for those moments when God gives us evidence, proof, that he exists, and that he cares for us. You know those moments when God seems to be saying, don't disbelieve, but believe. It may be that time when your car was hit head-on by another oncoming vehicle, and you were pushed into the guardrail with forces way out of your control, only to stop, basically unharmed. You get out, you look down, and you see the 120-foot drop. And you thank God for not letting you go over the edge. Or maybe it's that time you were just about to have that uncomfortable procedure, but the doctor walks in, looks up at the monitor, and says, well, you're healed. We'll see you in 4 to 6 weeks. Or the ever-increasing story that I've heard, you've probably heard it too. Person goes in and gets diagnosed with cancer. There it is, right there. You can see it. Then it's time to get prepped for the surgery. The doctor does another scan, and he looks at it again, looks at it a third time, and says, I can't see any cancer now, but I know I saw it 6, 8 weeks ago. Granted, there's always room for doubt. But doubt takes a back seat when we tell him to do so. In fact, doubt should never be allowed to drive. For there have been plenty of times in history when doubt was driving, but he was blindsided by another driver. Case in point, Thomas Didymus, a.k.a. Thomas the Twin, or as many call him, Doubting Thomas. He was the disciple of Jesus missing from the first meeting of the disciples right after the resurrection. Those who got together for the first time, only Peter had seen him, maybe James, that's it. And Jesus came and stood among them. But Thomas was not with them. Where he was anybody's guess. I kind of wonder if it wasn't the Jewish daylight savings time that was the problem. And he forgot to set his sundial back an hour. If you believe that, I have some land in Florida I'd like you to look at too. Now, when the disciples told Thomas that they had seen Jesus alive, Thomas let doubt drive. He didn't let the word of the other 10 disciples convince him of what they had seen and touched. Thomas famously said, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of his nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Hearing from his 10 trusted friends was not enough. Thomas needed proof. Thomas, in essence, said, don't just tell me the resurrection of him who died. Show me. The Lord, in his wisdom, waited 8 days for Thomas to see the resurrection. I wonder what those 8 days must have been like. Monday, the disciples were singing hymns and rejoicing over the resurrection, and Thomas is like Ebenezer Scrooge at Christmas time, going, bah, humbug. Tuesday, the disciples are still singing the Lord's praises, and Thomas is singing the blues. Wednesday, the disciples still joyous, Thomas still drunk with disbelief. Thursday, men's lunch day. Thomas didn't believe the place that was announced after church where the men were meeting. Plus, he still hadn't changed his sundial back, so he would have been late anyway. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Thomas sat squarely and stubbornly in disbelief. But on the 8th day, our Lord Jesus had mercy on Thomas That is the eighth day. In early Christian thinking, eight was 7 plus 1, true completion, the eternal day, the day of the new covenant, the everlasting day. Eight souls were saved on Noah's Ark. On the eighth day, Jews were circumcised to show their inclusion into God's promised eternal inheritance. Baptismal fonts became eight-sided. Eight-pointed stars became the seal of the prophets. Eight-sided crosses, or eight-pointed crosses, signified Jesus' death and the resurrection joy. And, oh, look, I'm on the eighth page of my sermon. And, hey, today is April 8th. It was fitting that our Lord Jesus chose the eighth day to reveal to Thomas the error of letting doubt drive instead of faith. In fact, had there not been faith and the other 10 disciples, Thomas may never have been saved from his disbelief. Jesus says, "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." On the eighth day since Jesus' first appearance to the 10, 11 now gathered, Thomas now being with them, 10 believing, 1 in doubt. Jesus came and stood among them as he did the first time, saying, "Peace be with you." And Jesus gave Thomas hands-on evidence of the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. That day, Thomas joined the 10 in believing in the resurrection of the body. Because Jesus lives, so would Thomas, and so would all who believe in Jesus' name. We pause to marvel at the stern and stubborn, unbelieving man who became one who saw and touched the living Lord Jesus. The words he spoke that day says it all. "My Lord and my God." We no longer call Thomas doubting Thomas. We call him believing Thomas. We also should call him blessed Thomas, for he was blessed with faith based on the tangible proof that he demanded. What's more, this eighth day appearance to Thomas and the 10 was written down for our hearing. We who often let doubt take the wheel instead of the back seat. Healthy skepticism is that which keeps us from believing in every myth and everything said by Fox, CNN, and the so-called History, a.k.a. Aliens Lived Among Us channel. But doubt, when strong evidence exists, could prove harmful to your health. God has provided evidence that he exists. His footprint is found in human history. For those with willingness to investigate the claims and consider the most probable explanations. Yet even with evidence, God makes us as creatures with room for doubt. As one man said to Jesus, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Faith and doubt readily coexist in the same person. Which one is allowed to drive is the real question. God has provided evidence that he exists. But our Lord Jesus gives us greater gifts by his word. Jesus knew that in time Thomas would no longer see the risen Jesus. Then what? Back to unbelief? Must have been a dream? Did he really see that? Did his hands really have those wounds in it? Did I actually get to touch them? Or did somebody just feed Thomas mushrooms? So Jesus left us a word that we remember so that we remember who should be driving the car, faith or doubt. He said, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." In some ways, the choice is obvious. You can be a healthy skeptic. You can be a doubting Thomas. But as for me and my house, we are blessed to be believers. Doubt must take a back seat for those who have heard and in their heart and by the Spirit believe. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.